This interview is being conducted for Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium Project Number AN08-NJ7. Interview is being conducted by Sarah Corbin.
James Rowan Sr. is assisting with the interview.
I'm interviewing Pauline Paradovich on April 25th, 2012 at 2:30 in the afternoon at the Klawak Cooperative Association Council Chambers in Klawak, Alaska. Thank you for joining me today, Pauline. It's a pleasure to have you here. Can you start out by telling me when you were born and how long you've resided in Klawak?
I was born in Craig in 1928. You need my mom's name?
Sure.
To Peter and Nina Nathan. I was the 12th child.
Wow.
And when did you move to Klawak?
In 1965. She's dad owned a old building down by the NB Hall. They used to own the cannery, the other cannery, very large cannery. That was closed down because he didn't pay his taxes. They didn't know about taxes then, but he had that cannery. He started out by putting up cans of fish, you know, individually, then he finally got a big cannery. Real big, I mean, for us it was big. But then they took his cannery away.
What was the name of his cannery?
Bayview. He had a large store and a show hall he started. In fact, he cleaned up spots for everybody that moved into Klawak when they first moved here. He was real genius, I guess. He put in the first water and to the cannery, and then he got the first electricity in Alaska run by natives. He built all that. I don't think anybody's recorded that or said anything nice about it, but he's kept most of people on Prince of Wales alive by buying furs and having them work in the canneries, spring in summer. So he's quite the guy.
Did he buy furs? And did you just tell me that he bought fur from people?
He bought furs, yeah. He in those days, to go out trapping, you spend all your summer wages, you didn't have nothing for fishing, so he'd have to help them with their food and everything, and he was the only one buying anyway, so.
And did he sell the furs
yes.
to someone else? Who did he sell them to?
I don't know. I got the papers at my house. Somebody in Seattle. I've got somebody's papers in my house.
Did he give cash for furs, or did he give trade store items for furs?
No, he paid cash. Then they deducted their what they owed.
Did your father keep ledgers or books?
He had papers of all kinds. He had ledgers. I don't know what one of his grandchildren got a hold of it, I think. But his grandpa was owned boats for the cannery. He was quite the... He'd have been called a millionaire, but then the government went and stepped in and said, you didn't pay for taxes for this, wiped it out.
When did the government take the cannery?
They didn't take the structure, they just took all the money that was available, and so he couldn't carry the load anymore.
About when was that?
I think it was in the early 30s.
And he had to shut down the cannery in the early 30s?
Yeah.
Did he then lease the building to someone else? Did somebody
no.
else? No.
By the time he got everything paid back, it was stripped. She had housing for all the workers that came from south, and blankets and sheets, everything. It was all the dishes, everything was taken. So he was out of business after they did that. But he had a store that he ran until he died.
Where was that store?
It's right across from the old A&B Hall.
Maybe here on the beach?
Yeah, that's probably it right here. Or yeah, it's right here. It's this one.
What kinds of things did he sell in his store?
Everything. Clothes and traps and things to keep people going. They weren't fancy, they were just what they needed. Then his brother Frank had the other store. If they're in competition.
Where did he buy things from?
Seattle.
How often did they come up?
I don't know. There were steamships that came every right to Ketchikan, and then he'd get a boat and run across.
So the things that he bought from Seattle, he would have to go and pick up from Ketchikan, or did the boat come in here?
Like I said, he had to take his boat, a boat in to Ketchikan to get the stuff here.
Mm.
Or get it by mail boat. In the winter time, that wasn't guaranteed to get there on time, but that's how they got things here.
Do you remember when Bayview Boulevard was a boardwalk?
Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, I never lived in Quahog until I married Bob, but I remember being up here and being on the boardwalk, and it went to that little island. We used to call it McNeil's Island because the McNeil family lived there, and it just went to that little island. Then they built the bridge to that, to McNeil's Island. I don't know what the name of it is, but that's what everybody called it,
yeah.
McNeil's.
How far along what's now Bayview Boulevard did the boardwalk go?
It just went down this way. This was all built later, like I think one of these houses. That's as far as the road was. Front. This is all put in after we moved here. It was just
so this area was boardwalk?
Most of it.
To Sandpoint, and then did the boardwalk extend down toward the cannery here?
Mm-hmm.
Did it come all the way to the cannery, the boardwalk?
I don't remember this part. RJ was, the grandpa was started. He cleaned up all this for his people that were moving into Quahog. He had equipment, a donkey, I think you called it, that pulled out all the trees and moved everything. He cleared out all, they all moved at once, and they just took up where, you know, any place that was cleared.
When was that?
I don't remember. I mean, I'd forgotten what that was. You could probably get it from city because they have a Founders Day. I don't know what that is.
Who had the donkey? What was his name?
Robert J. Pradovich Sr. He's the one that had the store and the show hall and lights. He didn't charge for lights when he started. Just people that were within the area where the cannery was all had lights.
Do you remember when they put in gravel, when they took out the boardwalk and put in gravel along Bayview Boulevard?
It wasn't too long ago.
No?
I'd say about 40 years ago. I'm not too sure, but it seemed like that's about.
Where did the gravel come from, do you know?
I have no idea. Imagine from the beaches, because they didn't have anything to grind up rock with, so I imagine it would have to come off the beaches.
Was the road built up over time? Did they put new layers on over time?
They were just like trails, really, where there was no boardwalk. So that would be most to the houses was all walking paths.
What did people's yards look like? Did they have gardens, or did they?
They all had gardens, believe it or not. It seemed like everybody had gardens that I remember. They'd have little gardens, or they'd go off, I don't know, some people had on islands.
What kinds of things were they growing?
Potatoes, rhubarb, carrots, and what else? They had, well, my family had a great big garden, and we'd put it, my dad started in May, and they'd go fishing and come back and dig it up in September. My mom would go get after the vegetables. That was on an island right out of the creek. So.
What's the name of that island that you would go to?
Fishing Island.
Fishing Island. Hmm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right at the very south tip, south end of it.
And you would spend the summers on Fishing Island?
No. We'd just go out there and probably spend weekends out there putting up that stuff, putting it in the ground, and then every now and then my mom would drag us all out there to weed it and get some that was grown already to eat. Then my brothers would come in and dig it all up.
Why do you think your mom wanted her garden so far from the house?
Nobody could get at it. Anything that's laying around, people would pick up. Everybody, even in Heidelberg, they had gardens on islands. Nobody had the ambition to grow out there again, to take it, so they're not dumb.
Oh, that's great. So you said you moved into Kluwak in 1965, huh?
Well, we lived in this. This was RJ's bunkhouse. It was a two-story building, it was very, and his sister lived in there for quite a while. And then this property is where his store was. There used to be a boardwalk that went down here that had a big dock here and a cannery.
I might have a picture.
I don't know what my husband did with the papers. It gave all the measurements on that because he had to have it to get a loan to build it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it. I don't know what he did with it. Probably in the house somewhere. But
Who gave him the loan to build it?
I have. It seemed like somebody from Seattle, if I remember correctly. But he was doing business with different people. I'll have to look for it, because I think that should be saved.
Mm.
It tells you the length of the dock and the length of the floats and the front end of the cannery. It had all kinds of stuff written. I have read it, but I don't know what my husband did with it.
Mm. Yeah, it would be great if you found it.
I have some papers of people that applied for jobs at the cannery. Some of them are 11, 12, 13 years old working in the cannery and taking the hot fish and piling them up. And then when it was cold, they put it in boxes. I know where that is, but I have that. My husband applied for a job when he was 7. Well, that's his grandfather, so he'd go down there and play. That was funny, though. He'd go to work down there every morning.
What did he do as a 7-year-old?
Like I said, they had to pile all the canned fish in there, and they had kids to do that. That was play for them.
Somebody gave him pocket money? He was paid a little?
I imagine. I don't know what they paid him with, but I seen where everybody had their gave their social security and everything on it. A lot of them are gone now. So.
The wood to build all of this.
Pardon?
To build, do you think is this the cannery in the dock?
Yeah. Uh-huh. This used to be the store, and it burnt. And then they built another one that wasn't quite as big, and it's the A&B hall. But this was the front. This is what I was talking about. He had all the measurements of this big cannery, and his show hall burnt down. He had a pretty good size show hall, too. I don't know if that's the store or the show hall.
The fishermen, did they have to provide their own boats for the cannery, or did the cannery give them boats?
No, the cannery owned boats that they leased out, but I think I'm not that too sure. It seemed like three or four of them seeing boats. My husband was born in this building here. It was a mess house, and there's four or five feet of ice on the...
The bay was all iced up when he was born?
Yeah, it was about 4 or 5 feet thick. He was born December 29th, so... My mother-in-law said you could hear that when it starts moving, it would creak. She could just visualize the all the piling going down the drain. But it would creak. I know I have this somewhere. All the dimensions on it.
Do you know if they got the wood locally to build that?
I have no idea. They must have. I don't think so, because there was a lot of cut timber in there. And a lot of, I imagine they brought it up. But they did have a lot of sawmills in this area, too, so I can't say where they got it from. Craig used to have 3 sawmills. There was a sawmill here. So they may have used local.
And what happened to all of that? Where did it all go?
Oh, dismantled.
People took it apart?
Yeah.
Did they reuse the wood, you think? Or?
I don't know. I think a lot of them went. Well, according to the old man, he said they burned it rather than go out and get their wood burned. That's what he said, so I don't know.
So it came apart over time?
Yeah.
Not all at once?
This, where I said my husband was born?
Mm-hmm.
That was, 75, they took that thing down, so.
It might be. I have a map here. This one's from 1965, but I have one from 1971. Maybe it would be on that. Wait, that's 1989, and there's still a building out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe it hadn't been too long ago they took that out, the last of it out. The city had a beautified cloak. I thought they should have saved some of the old houses for history, but they wiped everything out. They didn't believe in history then, I guess.
That one's 1971. And you can see the boardwalk still comes out to it then.
Mm-hmm. There's great big, I don't know what you call them, in front of Canada. Yeah, they just start beautifying clock when they start ripping everything apart.
When you moved here in 1965?
1965? No.
1965.
No, not quite that early. No, we lived in Craig until 1972. Bob was born and raised here, and then we came up, lived in that place for a while, in that house we're talking about. And then he took care of the cannery year round.
This cannery here. Mm-hmm. And did you work in the cannery?
Yes. The whole town worked in the canneries, but they didn't hire little kids. By then they had laws against that.
Did you have running water and sewer lines then?
Yeah, my father-in-law got the water into town. There was water by the... I remember them having water. The people from the village would have to carry water, but it was right in town. So...
That the old springs?
Pardon?
Was that the old freshwater springs?
Yeah.
Where they tap it from?
Yeah, there was one up by the old, I don't know what you call it now, clinic.
Mm.
And after they got running water, they filled it full of garbage.
Mm.
And it was real good water.
Yeah.
I often wondered why they couldn't get that for us. My daughter was born in Kowak. And she was 3 pounds, 2 ounces, and the lights would go off at 11 o'clock. And so they had to heat water and put it in quart jars and put it around her. And that's where they got their water. That's why I remembered them getting water from that place.
Did you have her, did you have your children in your home?
No, there was a clinic here. The building's still up, blue building up there by the, near the... corporation building. Then a lot of the children were born on boats. The cleaner, it was, they had doctors and nurses on that boat. They go to Heidelberg, Craig Kowak.
Whose boat was that operated the cleaner?
Some church. I don't know.
And it had doctors and nurses and women would give birth on it.
Yeah.
They would come with, so would they come in the cloak and tie up at the dock?
Huh?
Yeah. Wow. And it went, do you know what the other villages that that boat went to?
Pardon?
Do you know other villages that the Gleaner went to?
It went to Heidelberg Creek. They had a schedule they followed to go around to the villages, three villages.
When was that?
My daughter was born in 52. But she was born in Kowak. But the boat was here then.
Why didn't you have your daughter on the Gleaner?
Because it was probably in Craig or...
Oh.
It wasn't in Craig. That's why I came up here. It must have been in Heidelberg.
So. Wow. If the boat was here, would you have had her on the boat?
That's what they do, put you on a boat, because they had electricity 24/7, and here the lights would go out at 11 o'clock, go on at 12 noon, and go off at 11.
That's great. That's a great story. I didn't even imagine going from land to a boat to have a baby. It's a great story.
Well, lucky thing it wasn't. We didn't have to have horses or something. Yeah, most of the kids were born at the clinic there. They'd stay there for about a week and then go home. A lot of kids from the co-op, if the person was having a bad time, couldn't carry, having problems, they'd bring it up. Bring them up here to watch them. And there were certain houses that would take in patients, and they'd pay them. It wasn't much, but it was to help. So a lot of women from Heidelberg stayed in Kloak and had their babies.
Before you moved to Kloak, when you were growing up in Craig, how often did your family come up to Kloak?
There was no roads. Mm-hmm. There was just a trail. But if there's a boat coming up for some celebration, they'd all pile on the boat, come up. One time we went to dance up here, and, well, they got home late. I was a teenager, and the captain says, "You stay right there, don't you dare move." To me and my niece, who was just a year younger than I was, so we had to stand in the cabin, and the people got off, and they walked the wrong way. So everybody walked into the bay. It's in South Cove. That was funny. I'd have probably been the first one, but I would listen to the captain for once. But they travel back and forth on boats.
Did you have, when you were relatives up here when you were young?
Relatives all over southeastern Alaska. That was our only transportation, and we'd go by boat. Any place we went, we went by boat. Then somebody'd fall in love in Sitka, or somebody'd fall in love in Kloak, and you're on a boat. So didn't go far. I think that's why they set up that Indian law. They had their own law. You couldn't marry your cousin. You had to be from different, like, eagles couldn't marry eagles. They'd have to marry from a different clan. All related, but not close.
Do you ever remember finding things like trade beads around?
Oh, good. My daughter spent two summers in 19. We got the home now. The home I got now is, she came in from Indiana for the summertime, and she spent it digging for beads and artifacts and stuff.
On your, at your house?
Yeah, she took it. We just moved in, and when they pulled up, they were pulling the sunberry bush and all the wild celery up, and there'd be roots growing into the seed beads, and you'd see that. When they pulled up, you could see them. That was on my property. And so she spent two summers there.
What all did she find?
There's a lot of things. All kinds of junk toys and beads. Mostly beads, that's all she was digging for. She brought a lot of bottles, medicine bottles. I don't know what else. She found a little Chinese, looked like a saucer, a child's china that had beads in it. There were 12 big beads at the bottom, and the amount of red and white beads, those Russian, and yeah, Russian trading beads, like this. Mm-hmm. They're white inside.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Mom, look." And I looked at it, and I touched it, and all the red beads turned to dust. It was over 100 years in there.
Huh.
And it just turned to dust, just while she was standing there. But the big blue beads like this were perfect.
Which property is that you found those on?
Where am I? This one here.
So it's up off of Bayview Boulevard on this road that goes up over past
this
the school?
This is the A&B Hall, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, or no, it's this one. It's this third row. Yeah, right here.
Oh, is that Mance Street?
Yeah, Mance Street.
Uh-huh.
I have that big white house there.
Yeah. On the corner of Mance and Bayview Boulevard, mm-hmm. huh? Where do you think all those beads came from?
They had a garrison of Russians here. I think it was 6 or 8 Russians. They had stayed up on the river. There's still posts up there by the as you go into the river. That's where they stayed. And they were trading with beads. And then later on they brought American monies, and kids were scattering the beads all over. They didn't understand that they could have gotten some money for it.
Hmm. When were the Russian men here?
I imagine it would be in the early 1900s. Yeah, it was. They stayed up by the river there. A lot of people are shocked to hear that we had Russians here, but there was Russians.
Yeah, I haven't heard that before, so it's interesting. Where did you hear the story from?
From my mom and them talked about it, and Bob's grandpa laughed and told stories about them, but they were here.
Trading for furs?
Probably. I have no idea what they were up to, but...
When you say they were up on the river, do you mean up at the old village?
You know where the water spills out into the bay here? That's where they were.
Where the bridge is off of the island here?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, and you go right up here.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's where they were.
Hmm. Do you know if they came and stayed for a long time, or did they just come and visit during the year?
They were here. They were stationed here.
They were stationed here.
Yeah, I don't know how long they were here. All I know is they were stationed here. I don't know if they stayed, but they were in the service, so they must have had to stay for some length of time. So.
That's interesting. Have you ever found, or your daughter ever found any stone tools or anything like that?
My youngest daughter picked up one of those rocks, you know, you could have. You mash the two ended.
Like you would have used in something like this?
I imagine. It was about 4 inches. I saw a picture of one in one of the magazines. It was from the Stone Age, but it was... I still got it somewhere in my house. But she found it up here by the road. She said, "Well, look at this funny rock." She threw it away, so I went and I thought about it and went and picked it up. I still got it somewhere. It looked like toes on the end that where you press down the one that, well, it looked like toes. They put toes on it. Pond. Kind of interesting.
Did you ever hear any stories about the saltery or the first cannery here?
Yeah. There was one right out here between Craig and Clark they call Kisswater. That's where they had... That's where they had the salt tree. That water runs continuously, and that's where they... There was no roads in there, but that's where they had it.
That was the first salt tree in the area, huh?
I think so.
Hmm. How?
There were 3 or 4 different people that were doing it. So... At one time, when I was growing up, they had 3 different canneries in Craig. And they had two here, so.
A lot of people coming from outside to work?
They bring in, well, I was raised in the summertime out Noyes Island, and we'd move out there in probably first of June, and they were, when, what first I remember anybody coming into work was that they brought in a whole load of Japanese to the island. There's about 8 women that work there, plus all those Japanese and all those. Then when they went to war, they start bringing in Filipinos. So that's how they got the Filipinos and all the Japs. That's all I remember about them at the time. I was being out there, there were no radios or anything. But I remember the Japanese boss was out at the dock counting fish coming off the boats, and he shot himself right down. We all ran down to look at it, where it happened, but it had, must have had something to do with the war starting. That was, so until later I realized that was what happened, or might have happened.
What was it like around here during the war?
I stayed in Craig and I stayed out in Noyes Island. There wasn't much going on there. But they were having all kinds of, I was just looking at a plaque my father-in-law earned for the March of Dimes. He got a plaque from the President of the United States for raising money for the kids. I was just looking at it, thinking around. My kids asked me, how come so much junk? Oh, they're kind of precious. It just brings back memories.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that replacing the water and the sewer lines in Bayview Boulevard, do you think that will disturb any important cultural resources?
I don't think it would do as much harm as the fish game that is doing to us now. Fish and game has undone everything Mother Nature did for us. They've done, just literally wiped it out. Took them 24 years to wipe us out, or 26 years now. And then they put in the hatchery, and the only reason I can swear to it is because my son was going to school, and he'd get out of school, and he got up 8 o'clock in the morning and worked till 5, and that's the only time that that thing was opened. And the fish never had the time to come in, and they just swirl around till they die. And then they swirl around. They're still doing that. They've still got it. 8 to 5. And God only knows if they're doing that to our little creek. Imagine what they're doing to all the little creeks up and down the coast. And then they have the call to blame us Indians for eating up the fish. We lived here 100,000 years and we never could catch up with the fish. They were so numerous. Now you can't even count. You have to sit around and wait 3-4 hours to see a fish jump now. At one time there was, you couldn't count them. So I don't see what our water has anything to do with that fish or anything. So don't get me started about that.
You become part of the Radical Reds, huh?
In, I think it was 78, we went up one of the first meetings of the corporation, Sea Alaska meetings. No, maybe it was in 8, it had to be in 70s, latter part of 70s. We came home, Bob said, let's go for a ride, it stinks here. I couldn't smell it, I was used to it, I'm living in by it all the time. And we went up and we drove to Thorn Bay. Came back, that was when it, before it was paved or anything, had to drive around big boulders and everything. And coming back, we came down the mountain, drove into Cloaca, smelled like a big bowl of stinkheads. Gosh, it was powerful. I didn't know I lived in such. And that's when I found out about all the sockeye dying right there in the creek. And here I'm living right next to it, didn't even smell it. And boy, once you smelled it, it's sticks to you. I was telling Sealaska about it, and I was mad. I was absolutely infuriated that they could put something like that and open only 8 hours a day, and nobody's paying attention to it. 8 hours a day, they'd open it up to count the fish. And if they couldn't count the fish to help with them, they could belly up for all they cared. And they're still doing it. Boy, I was wishing somebody... I don't know what year that was. They voted out those traps. They used to fish traps to catch the fish. And pretty soon all the seiners start complaining because they were catching the fish with the traps, and they finally fought so hard that they finally got those things out. And why are we standing still when those fish had a chance to go out and grow and get caught on the way back into the river? This way we don't even give them a chance to go spawn or grow or mature. That don't make sense to me. So I hope Fish and Game here is part of the story, because it's sickening to think they know more than Mother Nature, and she kept it going for thousands of years. Took them 26 years to get rid of it. Because they wanted to change different creeks to different species, it was good enough for us when we were eating whatever she threw at us. Now we don't get nothing. Then if we catch more than our share, 32 fish per household, you get caught and you get fined. 32 fish, 36 fish, depending on the size of your house. Like, I live by myself. I probably get 12. That's who lasts me 12 months. That's a fish a month. I'm supposed to survive on that? I wish they'd wake up around here and tell them this is our land, we want everything off of it. I'd advocate it if I had. I was sick for the last couple of years, but I'd like to see them just take back the whole Prince of Wales and throw all their fishing gear or drag them up to the mountain, let them deteriorate up there, and let Mother Nature take care of us again.
Yeah.
That is probably, they'd already polluted wherever they were. I think I'm dreaming out loud.
Maybe. I just thought of a question about these beads. Do you remember anybody ever using these beads for sewing or decoration or doing anything with them?
Everybody uses them. I have some that I use, only I just use large ones like this. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of little ones. Some of them are using it for their hats they weave. It's real pretty.
Mm-hmm. And when you were young, do you remember seeing people using them for?
We used to use them, and my friend used to say when she was growing up, there was a long, big long string, she used it for her jump rope. She said that was Mrs. Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Joanne Woods, she was talking about using it for jump rope.
Did she grow up with you in Craig, or was she here in Kowak?
She lived in Kowak. Her family was in Kowak. She passed on about 5 years ago, I think 6 years. But yeah, there was a lot of it around here. But all the times I'd grown up, different people would make different things for it. Give it to their kids to play with, and nobody thought nothing of it.
I hear that you can find them all over the beach in front of Bayview Boulevard. That's where people find a lot of them. And I was wondering how they all got down to the beach on Bayview Boulevard. What do you think?
Kids throwing them around.
Kids throwing them around?
Yeah. Or playing with them. Yeah, it's up on Bayview, there was a church there, a Presbyterian church. And when the women decide to dedicate their lives to God, they take all their jewelry and throw it out.
Really?
But then they disappeared, and during the night, somebody went behind them and picked them up. So they were ripped off by the church-going people, because they were the only one that really knew when it was going on, and they'd throw it up. You couldn't find nothing the next day.
Was that something that the church asked women to do, or was that just something that women did
If you knew the people that came under the name of God, you'd be surprised what went on here. Our cook from at the mission at Sheldon Jackson came from First Avenue in Seattle, but she worked for a long time at that place. She was no missionary. They said she was, but she was. She said she just came off First Avenue. But that's how they treated us. They wouldn't let the women work in town for the mission, but they ended up ripping everybody out. No, you can't have jewelry. Kids go to school with their grandma's bracelet and take it. They didn't have qualms of literally stealing from the kids. Are you shocked? Most everyone. That's how we got to know each other, is going to the mission, to Sheldon Jackson. And my husband went to Wrangell Institute for quite a while. Well, some of the people went to school in Wrangell Institute from 10, 12 years old until they got out of high school. I wasn't that lucky. I had to come home and fight. Fight with the rest of my family. Everybody was gone by the time I came along. Most everyone went away to school.
And where did you go to school?
Sheldon Jackson, from the 7th grade till my junior year. I had to come home, help my mom, because my grandpa was dying of cancer. So everybody was gone by then. It seemed like we're littered with cancer. I don't know what causes it, but a lot of people have died of cancer or in their family. Mine was through my grandfather and my grandmother. I had it. 1956. I'm still walking there.
You had cancer in 1956?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a radical on my left breast.
You're doing well.
Yeah.
2012, huh?
If I knew I was going to live this long, I took better care of myself. I don't know what I'd do, but I'd do something.
Well, it's been a total treat to talk with you. Do you think there's anything else that I should know or I should be asking you, or you want to tell me about this project going in on Bayview Boulevard?
Well, I think it's going to be, if it's anything like Heidelberg, I think it'll be a world of difference. If you had seen Heidelberg, even with their paved roads, brush growing, now they got yards. I visualize my yard, but if they're raising their road 2 feet, they'll have to put my property. I have three properties. The one right by the A&B Hall and the store, I have that property. Then I have two on the other side of the street. So I'd like to know what they're going to do with me. I wish the city would buy that one. That would be a good library.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We need a good place for a good library.
Yeah.
I should go tell... I told him once about it, but... And when Bob died, he signed some papers for easement so they could park some canoes there.
Yeah.
We need that like we need a hole in my head. I think we need a real up-to-date library where it's accessible, where yeah. people can see it. It's a library, good, we'll go in there.
Yeah.
Probably built, it's real nice with all the built-in cupboards where you could put stuff that people give to a museum.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be perfect. Park museum and park library.
That'd be excellent.
I should go talk to him, I guess.
Yep.
One other thing just came to my mind about, I wonder if you ever, did you ever hear any stories about Russian men who a long time ago were came over on Chirikov's boat, and they went to get water and never came back. You ever hear any stories about Russian men coming to and settling in Klawok?
I've never heard that one. I've heard before there's a load of Chinamen. Maybe that's the one you're talking about. They all died coming from up north, somewhere up north end of this.
I don't know that one. Can you tell me that one?
I don't know. I just heard part of it. But they're Chinese. They just got their working up north, the canneries, and they're coming out, going south. They all died on that ship. I don't know what time. It must have been pretty late to have gotten that situation to die, because you could get off and eat anything on vegetables and stuff.
No, I hadn't heard that one.
No, then I was in Vista, and they gave us things to do, and we had to go to school for certain things, like we had gone up to Fairbanks, we went to Nome, we went to Washington, we went up over having classes. And then while I was still in there, we came home, they said that we'd have to represent the community for our health program. Oh well. So I went up to Sitka and talked to this. The new board was just coming in for Sea Alaska, and I told them we need medical facilities on Prince Wales Island. We don't have nothing there, nothing. People that take care of the patients, bring them into their homes. Here I am trying to stutter and stammer through a speech trying to get medical facilities. And then I ended up getting the same people that I've been working with, and they were all from same villages representing, so we were all on the board. That was quite a, from Vista to Search. In fact, we were the ones that picked the names. It was interesting, just to that time of the year, to be there. We started up Search. It was the health committee at that time. But they gave us the Coast Guard base with all the medical facilities on the base. We had to get that.
What year was this, or what years?
Oh gosh, I don't know. It had to be in 78, I think, 77, somewhere around there. Because Search was getting, Sea Alaska had just started, and they were backing us, and we were on our own because they were trying to set up their corporation. And so we branched off from them, Search did, and we ended up floundering around doing a... That's how we got Mount Edgecombe facilities, because Coast Guard was closing up. And so we ended up getting that. And there was, shore boats, they called them, taking people over to that island. Coast Guard had shore boats, and so we got the shore boat to take our patients over to the hospital. And it was our Coast Guard base, and it was just like blah, like this, nothing, no color, no nothing. And we lucked out, we got doctor and his wife, and they start fixing it up. Boy, they made it nice. If we didn't have them, I think we'd have floundered and sunk. But they were there to help us with everything.
What got you started in doing that kind of work?
Pardon?
How did you get started doing that kind of work?
How did I get started? Vista was because no income. And we were elected from our community to go work with them. And they gave us sometimes I wonder who was our leader taking us to Seattle, and Eugene, Oregon. We were all over the place. Then that was just about the time that we won the land grants and started Sealaska, but we were already through there. And then when we got Sealaska, got us to go in for the medical. That's when we started that other branch of Sealaska. There are 13 women from 13 villages. That is interesting.
What were the villages?
Prince Wales, all the way up to Skagway. Excuse me. But there were 13 of us.
Did you ladies know each other, or did you all meet doing this work?
Like I said, we all went to SJS, everybody. Everybody from the villages went to those schools. So we knew each other, or we've heard of each other until we got in. Was interested in our medical program. By the time we got through with everything and getting it together, then they start giving them money to for me. I had to be the poor one, $300 a month. And lucky thing we had, well, they knew we had relatives in every village, so we'd all follow them with our relatives. It didn't cost nothing.
Sounds like you've seen a lot of change
in
your lifetime.
Believe me. Like, I was married to my first husband for 13 years. And he was from Northern California, a white man. I could not go to a medical facility that was treating natives because I was married to a white man. And when we took over Mount Edgecombe, Washington, D.C. sent this man over. He said, one thing you can't do is take white people into your clinic unless it's life or death situation. And you can't treat them. And then all of a sudden, three communities now have open door. But I think that he was a doctor, I'm sorry, I forgot. Of all doctors out in the service, I can't remember what his station in life was. But he told us, if you take white people into your it's like taking it into your house. Open your doors to them and help them. Tell them to come and help themselves. He said, you're going to lose everything. That's why the slav is in here. The Indians are will help anybody. He said, it's all over the states, 48 states. And you folks remember this. It's like taking and opening your teepee to just anybody. Pretty soon you don't have a teepee. You won't have nothing. Because they'll come and eat you out of house and home. That's how he put it to us. And he said, you just don't treat any kind. It's just your family. Just you natives. And you folks are almost all related anyway, so you must know who your families are. And I think he was right. Because that's what papers we had to sign, that we could not treat Caucasian or Chinese or anybody, unless it was life or death. Then they opened it all up to everybody. Ketchikan? No, not Ketchikan. But Juneau? Here, there are three places that opened their doors to anybody. I believe in God and everything, but I believe in taking care of your own first. Because there used to be so few of us that you had to take care of each other.
What do you think are the biggest changes you've seen in Kluwak in your life?
Their attitude. They don't send their kids away. The kids are building families, and their families are growing big again. Where people that grew up in the missions, they moved away and never came back until it was later in life. But now everybody comes back. Not only Kluwak, but all over southeastern Alaska. That is something that you hardly ever hear anybody speak of. But that is one of the biggest changes I've seen.
Well, yeah, well, you've done, thank you so much for coming. You've given me a lot of great information about Kluwak and the history. It's just been really interesting to talk with you.
Kluwak has been, when I was growing up, if there's a ball game in Kluwak, we'd take a boat. My dad used to have a boat and talk him into bringing everybody up, two boats at a time, to carry everybody back and forth. And they must have paid for their gas, or because they didn't charge anybody for getting on the boat. They never charged going to the ball game. So it was a community thing. Now you get in a car, it costs you $10 to get to Craig on it.
How long was the boat ride between Craig and Kluwak?
I'd say an hour. It's just 7 miles. Probably an hour. And those weren't fast boats either. Yeah, everybody came, is coming home, where before they wouldn't come home, because they were all raised in missions. That's one good thing about it.
What did your parents do in Craig?
My dad worked out Steamboat Bay That's way out on the ocean there. Almost the last island out there. But he worked out there. He fished all his life. My mom made... She used to make... Get cigar boxes from... She'd save them and make... Put putty on it and put designs with different kinds of shells. She used to sell it to the people. $20 was pretty good money then, and she'd sell them for $20 a piece to the boats. That's when we used to have boats coming into the cannery here and Craig.
Tourist boats?
Yeah. No.
Or fishing boats?
Fishing? No, they're tourist boats. They're dragging people around back and forth. So they'd take boatloads of workers up to Alaska. They'd have to go back and come back and buy fish and fill up on the way back. So I would say they were tourists.
There were
a few.
The cannery workers, taking the cannery workers up and down, huh? Those boats.
Yeah. They had to take them all up there and bring them all back down. So I got to... A couple bowls, steamship bowls that Bob's grandpa took from the boat when he came up. I was just looking at them. I should throw them away. I'm sick and tired. I should bring it down or give it to somebody that would appreciate it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, they can go in. They can go in the museum with the library.
Yeah.
It's part of history, huh?
Yeah. I thought that, but I'm still waiting for a museum or something because they're losing a lot of stuff here.
Yeah.
A lot of it's coming back, but when they had taken all that native crafts from villages and took them down, and then they passed the law, they had to bring it back. Some of my grandmother's pictures on the wall at Ketchikan, and they claim her but she's from Craig. But nobody was old enough to remember that. But I recognized her, and I always would go argue about it. Because their family was dead, and the younger one didn't remember that, but they pointed her out as their grandma. Sounds crazy. There's a lot of stuff that goes in a museum, should go in a museum.
Do you have any old pictures of Klowok and Craig?
I loaned my pictures to the city to bring to for their opening. They're supposed to bring it back. They never did. It's still hanging on the wall. They're still hanging up on the city wall. Well, they're safe there, I guess.
Interesting.
So that's quite interesting.
How many children do you have?
Five. I had five. Couldn't carry them over 7 months. Almost 7.5 months I carried my youngest one. Like I said, my oldest one I carried for 7 months, and she was 3 pounds, 2 ounces. She survived with quarts of hot water. At night they'd fill them up just to keep her warm. The nurse had to get up and keep it at a certain temp. That's when they believed the mother had to stay in bed for 10 days without getting up. And that poor nurse had to take care of the baby and the crabby mother, because in 10 days, gosh, they chase them out now in 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. So with those ladies who had the babies on the boat, They have to stay on the boat for 10 days?
No, they'd get off. If their baby was healthy and they were healthy, they'd go home.
Mm-hmm.
And stay in bed there. I don't know how that skinny little doctor would pick him up, but he'd pick him up and carry him up to the dock. Some of them were pretty hefty.